What comes to mind when you think of the concept of light? Now, of course, in the Netherlands, light has kind of a special meaning because the Philips, great, the Philips factory, of course, in the city of Eindhoven, light, Eindhoven, sometimes we even call it the city of lights. But of course, light is so beautiful. It was God who created light in the beginning. So we look at the creation story. God created light, and things became visible. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful when you open up your eyes in the morning and you look at your wife or your husband? Or when you wake up in the morning and you hear those little voices and you see your little children? What a blessing it is to have light. And of course, when we think about regular light, as in this building, as in your houses, light does something very unique. Because what does light do? It makes visible what you see. Now, of course, we also have lights that are called beams. And beaming kind of light is the light that projects itself at one specific item or one specific place, and it lights up everything that is within that beam. And then what happens is, when that beam is focused on one specific element, then you come to see the details of that specific element. So sometimes you have walked by a certain place many, many times, but then all of a sudden when that beam is on that specific item, then you say, wow, I never saw that. It sometimes happens when you're on the road that sometimes people say, hey, do you see that? And you say, no, it never really caught my eye, or it never really caught my attention. Today, we want to look at the books of Timothy and the books of Titus. And we want to do the very same thing. We want to focus in. We want to put the light on some of the things that we find in the book of Timothy. Now, when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul starts this verse by saying, this is a faithful saying, with the emphasis on faithful saying. And that happens 5 times in the books of Timothy and in the books of Titus, that he says, this is a faithful saying. And of course, when we see the words, this is a faithful saying, it's almost like Paul is saying, focus. Very important. Put your beaming light on this. And so, what does it say again? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Brothers and sisters, what comes to mind when you think about Jesus? Some people say, well, you know, in Jesus are found all spiritual blessings. Some people say, in Jesus, I will find my true peace again. And of course, these things are true. When Paul talks about Jesus Christ, first and foremost, he comes to say that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And isn't that beautiful, brothers and sisters? Isn't that beautiful? I know Cor is the one that usually say, brothers and sisters, when we eat of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, make sure that it never becomes a tradition. Make sure that it is always special. Make sure that you never think, oh, okay, yeah, now is the time for the Lord's Supper. It would almost be like on Saturday night, we would be saying, tomorrow, in so many hours, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper again. And we can celebrate again that Jesus came, number one, to save sinners. And that is what Jesus came to do in this world. Jesus came to save sinners. So again, we need sometimes to focus again on some of those things. Sometimes we might say, oh yeah, I know that. But do we really know that? That is the question. That's an important question. The Bible says very plainly and very bluntly, the wages of sin is death. Very plain, very simple. The wages of sin is death. But brothers and sisters, do we know what that means for us personally? That means personally, what I deserve by what I have done, my wages is simply death. My wages is simply eternal damnation. What I have done deserves only that I will always be separated from God. But of course, we know the Bible talks about, Martin, you just mentioned it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he doesn't want anybody to perish. I'm now combining two verses together, but all come to repentance. That is what God desires. And that was only possible by the blood, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we're living in an age in which not too many people want to talk about sin anymore. We live in an age in which too many people do not want to talk about the holiness of God anymore. This morning we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, fornicators and adulterers God will judge. We often don't like to talk in those terms anymore. We like to talk about God as being a God of love, being a God of mercy, being a God of forgiveness, being the God of second chances. And of course, those things are true. But God is also just. God is also holy. That justness of God and his holiness brought Jesus into this world. Because God cannot overlook sin. There needed to be a sacrifice in order for the propitiation of sin. The sacrifice of Christ was needed in order to pay for my own sin. And brothers and sisters, that is something that we should never forget. That is why the book of Peter says, you have not been redeemed by gold or silver. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, it is not until we see the true nature of sin that we will start to see the love of God. God's love can only be seen, can only be fully realized when we look at the true nature of sin. That is so important for us to realize. That is why the blind man who comes to see, there is a sparkle in his eye every day. Why? He knew what it meant not to see anything. There's a sparkle in his eye every day. There's a story on his lips every day. I was blind, but now I see, and I am so thankful. And brothers and sisters, that should be our story. And that is what Paul helps us to understand here when he says, now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That is what God came to do. And yes, then we will enjoy all the spiritual blessings. Then we will enjoy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then we will enjoy the angels surrounding us. Then we will enjoy all the blessings. But brothers, let us never forget, it all started. We are sinners. We were sinners. We only deserved eternal destruction. But God so loved the world. Can we beam in on that statement? Can we zoom in on that statement? And let God allow to do what he wants to do in our hearts, to make us more intimate with God, to make us more intimate with Jesus. What a beautiful concept. Now look at the second one. The second one we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, we know what an elder is, right? An elder is someone that leads the church, that leads the local church. So he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So Paul says, if someone desires the position of an elder, or bishop is one of his other names, he desires a good work. Why? Why is that a good work? Well, remember, it's all about the church. It's all about those who are being saved. It's all about those that have seen Jesus. Wow, Jesus, you are my Savior. Wow, Jesus, you went to the cross for me. Wow, Jesus, you died for me? Wow, Jesus, you did all of that for me? When people start to realize those things, when people got to see those things, they come to the church, they come to church on Sunday morning, like we do here. And then God says, in that church, in that local church, there are all kinds of people. And we know that, right? Martin, we are different. You are a good song leader. I'm not. Evgeny, you got your talents. We got people in the church that are really old. We have people like Jim and Ruth. But we also have people like Nikita, who was just baptized a couple of months ago. And what does God say? That group of people that needs good leaders. A faithful saying, those who desire the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So yes, in that church, there is all kinds of different people with all kinds of different characters. It's almost like for those of you that are parents and those of you that have children. Evgeny, Tanya, you have four children. They're all different, right? They're all a little touch different. Even though you got the same father, you got the same mother, they're all a little bit different. With one, you need to be a little bit like this. With another one, you need to be a little bit like this. With one, you need to take a little bit more of an eye on this angle of his or her life. And so for those of you that are parents, you know children are different. They're not all the same, even though they are from the same father and the same mother. And that also happens in the church. We look at this church in Haarlem. We got people from many different backgrounds. Do we all think the same? No. Do we all feel the same about everything? No. For one, this is important. For another one, this is important. And that is why God designed the church with elders, with leaders. And those leaders, as we just read, they need to have qualities. And read them again, those qualities. But when you read those qualities, it's almost like, wow, that is the top. That is those that have life experience. That is why he says, if you don't have your own house under control, you can never be an elder, because how would you then have the church of God under control? Brothers and sisters, in the Netherlands, in Western Europe, a lot of the churches of Christ do not have elders. And I believe we can say together, one of the first things that we should do is pray that God will prepare elders in the church, because they are so important. What about good leaders in this world? We all work. What would happen if there was no leader at your work? So just imagine in the morning you come at your work and there is no one that says this is your task. What will happen? Well, some people might by nature sort of know what they have to do, and they do what they have to do. Other people, they really need somebody to tell them this is what needs to happen. What would be a boat without a captain? It's important, right? Just imagine you go on the ferry and they say, come with us, but we don't have a captain. Would you go on the ship? Would you go on the ferry? We would likely say, if there is no captain who knows about the water, who knows about the sea, who knows about the boat, who knows about the speed, who knows about the direction, we need leaders. And that is also important in the church. The word translated noble is a word that means beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, and admirable. That is why God says, what a beautiful thing it is if someone among you desires the office of a bishop. Because in the church, that is a noble task for brothers to become that kind of leader. And again, leaders in the Bible are not like leaders in the world. Leaders in the world, they really do what they like themselves. But leaders in the church, they look out for everyone. A biblical leader looks at every face, even the little ones, even the little children, and say, what is best? And that is why the Bible says it is a faithful saying. Those that wish the position of an elder, they desire something that is beautiful, that is handsome, that is surpassing, that is precious. And so, brothers and sisters, like I said, and we all know it, in Western Europe, so many churches are functioning without elders. And we also know about business meetings, right? Business meetings can sometimes be difficult and tiring. Why? Basically because we have inexperienced men, that does not say anything about your value, but we often have inexperienced men that will make decisions, and it often becomes quite difficult. And then we look at churches with elders, 2, 3, 4, 5 men that are chosen to lead, and they lead as God wants them to lead. They look at everybody. They make decisions based on the goodness and the welfare of the church. And that is why that is so important. And I believe, brothers and sisters, it should be our prayer for even in the church in Haarlem, that God will have men that have the qualities, but also the desire, because that might even be the most important quality, to desire the function or the position of an elder. And again, I would like to suggest, let us pray for that. And not only for the church in Haarlem, but even for other churches, to have elders, to have deacons, men that can lead in such a way that is fruitful to every individual Christian in that specific group. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. It says this: if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercises profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. To this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. These things command and these things teach. What is Paul saying? If you instruct the brethren in these things, And of course, in the first 3-4 chapters of the book of Timothy, Paul had been instructing Paul about many different things. So he says, if you instruct your brethren of these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Brothers and sisters, what is important? What is faithful? What is the faithful saying? Instruct the brethren in these things, that you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and of the good doctrine which you have followed. That is important. Again, it all comes down to the church. It all comes down to what the Bible calls the bride of Jesus Christ. And what does the bride of Jesus Christ need? Instruction in good things, nourished in the word of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercises profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, because it has a promise in this life, but also for the one to come. What is important in the church? Good instruction, words of faith, and the good doctrine. Brothers and sisters, may I ask you, why do you come to church? Why do you come to Bible study? It should be to be instructed in the words of faith and of the good doctrine of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we see it around us. So many different churches and so many different groups. But what is at the heart of many of those groups? At the heart of many of those groups are their own catechisms, their own confessions, their own traditions. That is what is at the heart of many of those groups. What should be the heart of this group? Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine. That is important. Again, it all comes down to Jesus. It all comes down to the church. It all comes down to that within the church, we should have the words of faith and of the good doctrine. So again, we ask the question, what is your deepest interest? Is it your deepest interest to delve yourselves into the words of God and to say, God, please teach me? Whether I like it, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, because I want to do your will. That is the heart of the church. That is the heart of true Christianity, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine. We got two more, but I do need to limit myself a little bit here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It says this. This is a faithful saying. Again, the words are coming back. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So what is the Apostle Paul saying? It all comes down to faithfulness. Faithfulness is the important word. And God makes a promise to us. If we have died with him, and where do we die with Christ? In baptism. Based on faith and repentance. Not apart from faith and repentance, but followed from faith and repentance when we are baptized into Christ And God makes us a promise. God says, if you died with Christ, you will live with him. That's the assurance of faith. Ada, we talked about that yesterday night. The Bible does talk about the fact, once saved, always saved. The Bible tells it, but it always tells it to the person who is committed to Christ, committed to his cause, committed to the right teaching. If we died with him, we will live with him. But then it says, of course, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Brothers and sisters, it's all about faithfulness. What about your merits? Marriages, they flourish when two people are faithful. Marriages will flourish when two people say, I will do every day for you what I have promised you to do that first day that we committed ourselves to one another. Then I said yes, and I will continue to say yes. And that is the heart of a good marriage. But it's also the heart of a good relationship with Jesus Christ. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. There is one more in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 8. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Listen to what Paul says to Titus. I want you to affirm constantly to those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. What is true Christianity all about? It's all about good works. The book of James tells us faith without works is dead. So what is Paul saying to Titus, an evangelist in the early church? This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. Do you see that word? Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So, brothers and sisters, in closing, the books of Timothy and the books of Titus uses that phrase five times. It's all about the church. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God and his glory. It's all about him. But at the same time, it's also about us. We are called with a calling. We are called to make the church of Christ large. We are called as the church, as the bride of Christ, to become without spot and without wrinkle. And the most beautiful thing here is that God has never told you you have to do it all by yourself. Other scriptures will help us to understand. God sends his Spirit into them that are born again. He will help you. He will support you. And we look at Abraham. Was he able to do and live the way that God wanted him to live? Yes, he was. God gave him the strength. You look at Daniel, you look at David, you look at others throughout the scriptures. And every time you see again, God would never leave them. God would never forsake them. And I believe that even with the things we talked about today, it's not always easy to live the true Christian life. It's not easy to maintain good works. It is not easy to flourish every day in true Christianity. But that is what we have been called to, brothers and sisters. That is our task. Amen.